Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Joseph Russell. I represent the appellant, in this case, Santos Bahena Navarro. Counsel. Your Honors, the District Court abused its discretion when it rejected Mr. Bahena's guilty plea and forced him to go to a trial that he could not win. Mr. Bahena was charged under 1326, a statute that governs illegal reentry offenses. That statute is very simple. The government need only prove that the defendant is an alien, two, that the alien was deported, and three, that the alien had reentered this country without the permission of the Attorney General. On June 14, 2010, Mr. Bahena, in a pretrial hearing in front of the District Court, readily testified and admitted to those three elements of a 1326 violation. Namely, one, he was a citizen of Mexico. Two, he was deported in 2004. And three, he re-entered the United States without the permission of the Attorney General. On June 15th, the next day, the District Court was advised by Mr. Bahena's counsel, and without objection by the United States, that Mr. Bahena was going to offer a conditional guilty plea, preserving one item that was subject to the pretrial hearing the day before, namely that he cannot collaterally attack the 2004 deportation. Other than that one issue reserved for appeal, there was absolutely no reason why Mr. Bahena should have gone to trial. The government, as I said, need only prove that he was an alien, he was deported, and he reentered without the permission of the United States Attorney General. But the District Court rejected that guilty plea. It rejected the guilty plea because, as was the case in Rhea Beltran, involving the same District Court, the District Court judge was under an erroneous legal conclusion. Namely, that there was a fourth element to a 1326 violation.
Counsel, there was, I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you want to finish that thought?
Let me
ask you,
please.
Isn't it true that the district court judge only expressed some interest in this additional element at sentencing, that never even came up at the change of plea hearing, and in fact at the change of plea hearing, they never even got to making a factual basis, or the district court judge would have required him to make a factual basis on that element. Aren't all those things true?
Yes, Judge DiTullio, that is true, that it was at the sentencing hearing on January 27, 2011, where the district court actually did cite a reason, a post hoc reason, for rejecting that guilty plea.
Well, let's get to the guilty plea day, because there was lots of confusion going on. Your client said, when the court advised him of certain rights not to testify against himself, he said he was confused. The court tried to figure out what the confusion was. He said he was confused about giving up his rights in several aspects. The court tries to clarify it. They discuss this blind plea. The court tries to understand what's going on. There's lots of confusion. I mean, I think if the court had accepted this plea, then we'd be here on an invalid plea because it wouldn't be clear that he understood what his rights were. I mean, that's the big concern I have. So one of my questions is, while this is going on, the day of the plea, how long did the defendant have to talk off the record with his counsel in the middle of the hearing? You know, there was a point where Judge Holderman recessed it so he could talk. Is there anything in the record indicating how long that was?
I believe it was several minutes. I can't tell you.
But there's nothing in the record that shows the amount of time.
No.
Okay.
No.
I just wanted to make sure.
But that is true, Judge Williams, that there was lots of confusion. There was a hesitancy to answer questions, much like the case in Rhea Beltran, the defendant was confused. There were several reasons why he was confused. He's a non-native English speaker. He required the assistance of an interpreter. He was denied the ability to meet with counsel the morning of the trial. He had just been denied the ability to collaterally attack the 2004 deportation, something he didn't understand, which his counsel advised the court he didn't understand, and the court rejected that as a reason why he shouldn't go to trial. He also had a pending visa application that was filed on behalf of his on his behalf by his sister. All these elements of confusion or reasons for the confusion were dismissed by the judge. The judge, one the sound reason one rationale for rejecting the guilty plea was that there was a jury in the back room waiting to go to trial. That is not a sound reason under the case law of this circuit, and the confusion should not have been mistaken as a refusal to admit guilt, when in fact...
What's the general principle for finding that his rights were violated by not being permitted to plead guilty?
By not being able to plead guilty, he was forced to go to a trial he could not win.
How does he end up any different than if he'd gone to trial or not gone to trial then?
If he was allowed to plead guilty, he could have been eligible for a reduction in the offense level of his sentence, which is would allow him the opportunity to plead acceptance of responsibility, which would reduce.
So this all goes to the sentencing guidelines as the basis for this right?
It would go to his ability to persist in his plea under Rule 11.
But you don't even get, when it's the day of trial, there's not an automatic 2-point off and 3-point off for doing a plea, is it? It's not automatic.
It is not automatic.
The court has to decide that, and one of the things that you get the 2 points off and maybe a third point when you come in early, you save the cost of preparation for the trial, you save the cost of the jury, and then often the court will give it. I mean, there have been courts that haven't given that kind of reduction when it's a week before, and it's been upheld by this court, not as an abuse of
right.
discretion.
And in regard to whether this is harmless error or not, he was denied the ability to... the opportunity to ask for acceptance of responsibility. It's not guaranteed, but he was denied the opportunity. There are aspects of the guilty plea that might discourage that reduction in offense level, namely, was it a last-minute plea? Well, yes, but that's in a sense not Mr. Bahena's fault. The motion for limine filed by the government denying, trying to preclude his ability to collaterally attack the 2004 deportation wasn't filed until 4 days before the trial date. It wasn't decided until after a jury had been selected. It was only after that his ability to collaterally attack the order that there was no reason why he should continue to go to trial. So I don't think he should be held...
But you don't have any case similar to this situation where we've held that he had, you know, an absolute right to, like, plead guilty, because the cases that you cited, like this Ray Belton case, had to do with the court's misapprehension of what the elements were, you know, the elements of the crime. So it turned out, you know, that the defendant did admit specific elements, and that constituted the crime, and the court misapprehended that or didn't have the correct legal understanding. Not a situation where the court was concerned about whether the defendant understood what his rights were and what he was giving up. So you don't have a case on that, right?
Well, I submit that Rhea Beltran is on point, because the denial of the guilty plea was premised on this erroneous legal conclusion that there was a mental state element in the offense. And as
but there's not an extra element that Judge Holdeman thought he needed to prove or anything like that.
It just had
to do with his general waiver.
I believe in the sentencing transcript it's clear that he was guided by erroneous legal conclusions, as in Rhea Beltran, appendix page 39 at the top. He was aware that his being in the United States was not legal, and consequently, he was guilty of the crime. That's an inaccurate misguided understanding of the 1326 violation.
But as I thought we established about 10 minutes ago, what does that have to do with anything that happened at the change of plea? The defendant never even got to the point of making the factual basis where that misunderstanding of the element of the crime was ever an issue.
And Judge DiGiulio, that's exactly the point. The Judge Holderman did not ask the questions because he did not ask the three questions that Mr. Bahena readily admitted to the day before, that he was an alien, that he was deported, and that he was in the country without the permission of the Attorney General. Three questions that should have been easily asked, easily answered, as they had been answered the day before.
But isn't it true that you don't even get to the factual basis until you establish that the defendant is making a knowing and intelligent waiver of his constitutional rights, and that the judge felt he failed to do that in this instance?
The judge felt he failed to do it because there was a jury in back, and he wanted the jury to hear the case. He didn't advise Mr. Bahena that these were the elements of the offense that he had to admit to. He didn't ask the right questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Knies.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is John Ness. I represent the United States. Your Honors, there are three reasons that the judgment of conviction here should be affirmed. First, the defendant, Mr. Bahena Navarro, waived his argument in this appeal by affirmatively stating on the record, let's go to trial. He didn't state that once. He stated it twice.
Counsel, I hate to ask you a question so quickly into your presentation, but didn't that statement really go more to an acquiescence or an agreement with what the district court judge was saying? I mean, wasn't that really in response to what the district court judge had already told him? So isn't that more an acquiescence as opposed to an expression by him that he did, in fact, want to go to trial? And given the amount of confusion that existed at that point, can you really say that he was expressing a desire to go to trial as opposed to merely acquiescing in what the district court judge had said first?
I understand Your Honor's question, but I do think that actually it was an affirmative statement of Mr. Bahena's desire to go to trial, not simply an acquiescence in what the court was saying to Mr. Bahena. And the transcript is what bears this out. If we look at the transcript, the judge said there's a fair and impartial jury, and I'm not quoting here, but he said in essence there's a fair and impartial jury in the back waiting to hear your case. That's what you wanted. You wanted a trial all the way back to when Judge Norgal was presiding in this case. At that point, the defendant said, let's go to trial. And the record shows that Chief Judge Holderman said, let's go to trial. The defendant said again, let's go to trial. And then there was a discussion about whether Mr. Bahena could still testify in front of the jury. He said, I would like to testify before a jury because they have not helped me as representatives. They have not helped me here. That's transcript page 236. That's not simply an acquiescence in the judge's comments about going to trial. If it was simply an acquiescence, Your Honor, he would have had no need to say anything. But he did say, let's go to trial, not once, but twice. And then later said, yes, I want to testify before a jury because they have not helped me here. Even if there's not a waiver here, Your Honor, this statement goes very much to the point that Mr. Bahena was not prepared to enter a knowing and voluntary plea within the meaning of the Constitution and within Rule 11 of the criminal procedure rules. He had no idea what rights he was waiving. He wasn't prepared to admit that he'd done anything wrong. When he said he thought it was going to be a blind plea, that was in response to his own lawyer saying, you're going to have to plead guilty. He said, but I thought this was going to be a blind plea. What this defendant, I think, wanted to do, what I think the transcript and the record shows, is that he just wanted to enter his guilty plea and get on with things and fight the fight about the pretrial hearing at another time. He didn't have any idea what rights he was going to give up, and as Judge Williams pointed out, and that's exactly right, if the court had accepted this guilty plea under these circumstances, that would have been a violation of the Constitution. He was simply not prepared to enter a guilty plea. So when we talk about the statement, let's go to trial, that's a statement that shows the defendant's unsettled state of mind at that point, and it's our argument that it shows he affirmatively wanted the trial, but even if you don't accept that, it shows he wasn't prepared to enter a guilty plea.
Now, is there anything in the record that sheds light on how long this consultation was? Because he does talk about the fact that he, had these missed opportunities to talk with his counsel. You know, perhaps if the court had given him more time to consult these misunderstandings, or his understanding of what he was doing could have been clarified.
Your Honor, the record does not show the time that that consultation happened. I was there. I have a vague recollection that I could share with the court if the court wants. But
that's okay, because it's not part of the record.
That's correct, Your Honor. I would like to also point out that at page 53 of the transcript of the sentencing hearing that was held on January 27th of this year, Mr. Bahena said, quote, "I was even more confused on the day of the trial." So he's talking at sentencing about how confused he is about everything. If there's one thing that's consistent in this record, it's Mr. Bahena's confusion. He's confused from the beginning of this case all the way through to the end. He had four lawyers. Every time we went in the court, he asked for a new lawyer before the trial. He either was gaming the system, as Chief Judge Holderman found, or he was truly confused, either one of which doesn't give a basis for entering a guilty plea. Now, Your Honors, I would like to touch a little bit on the harmless error point, because that is an equally strong independent ground for affirming the judgment below. This defendant wasn't going to get acceptance. And we know that from the record. If we take a look at the timeline, we have, as Judge DiGiulio pointed out, we have what happened on the day of the attempted change of plea. And I just want to make an aside on this point, which is that in reading the defendant's briefs and then looking at the record, it's really a tale of two cases. The defendant wants to try to shoehorn this case into Rhea Beltran by looking at an isolated comment that the district judge made at sentencing that was really in the context of whether this defendant was going to get acceptance credit and or an obstruction of justice enhancement. That was almost 7 months after the attempted change of plea. If you look at the transcript of the attempted change of plea, it was nothing but confusion on the part of the defendant. And I think that that's clear from the record. Now, with respect, again, to the acceptance of responsibility point, Chief Judge Holderman wrote a memorandum opinion on resolving the defendant's motion for a new trial. That was before the comment that Mr. Bahena is relying upon at the sentencing. So in the written memorandum opinion and order of Chief Judge Holderman resolving the motion for a new trial, partly on the basis that the defendant should have been allowed to plead guilty, Chief Judge Holderman said, in effect, I would not have granted this defendant acceptance of responsibility under these circumstances. So the fact that he waited until the day of trial, the fact that he lied at a hearing the day before trial, the fact that he never once expressed any genuine remorse, as this court has required in cases like Diaz, Gautarama, and others, all of that went to the district judge's decision not to grant acceptance of responsibility. That wasn't going to change and is not going to change, Your Honors, if this conviction is vacated. I want to make one more point about this issue of acceptance of responsibility. In his reply brief, the defendant says that the government is being disingenuous by saying, on one hand, that we had no objection when it looked like Mr. Bahena was going to plead to him reserving an appeal on the issue of the pretrial hearing, and our position now that he wasn't going to get and is not going to get acceptance of responsibility. There's nothing inconsistent or disingenuous about that. The government can certainly say we have no problem with reserving a right to appeal that pretrial ruling, but was by no means a commitment on the part of the government to agree with an acceptance of responsibility credit. There was no way the government was going to agree to acceptance of responsibility for this defendant. And by the way, the whole issue of this pretrial hearing and whether the defendant could collaterally attack his previous deportation came about not because the defendant raised it, it's because the government filed a motion in limine on June 4th, 10 days before trial, saying that he shouldn't be able to rely on this collateral attack. And the government teed the issue up. The district judge denied the motion in limine and then set the matter for a hearing. This defendant had months to plead guilty if he was serious about pleading guilty. He didn't do it. So for all these reasons, the desire to go to trial, the fact that he was not prepared to enter a knowing and voluntary and intelligent plea of guilty, and the fact that there's no error here that would make any difference on remand, the judgment of conviction should be affirmed.
I just had one just a practice point. In the future, it might be helpful to note what time a recess began and when the recess ended. Now, especially in terms of here, it seems to me it doesn't turn on that question, but it could make a difference in a future case.
Very well, Your Honor. We'll certainly take that advice in the future. Thank you, Your Honor.
And I mean that to both counsel, not just to the government.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? Your time has expired. Did you have any? I'll give you another minute if you wanted to make some response.
I just wanted to address the waiver argument. In the Seventh Circuit, a waiver is only enforceable if the waiver is voluntary and knowing. In this case, the court asked Mr. Bahena, "You want to go to trial, right? Yes or no? Do you want to go to trial?" Defendant said, "I don't want to go to a trial lately." Shortly thereafter, the judge called him, said he was lying, and then he said, "We're going to accord you a jury trial." That is not a voluntary waiver. In regard to harmless error, it was Mr. Bahena's choice to go to trial, not the district court's judge decision, and for that reason, he should be availed the opportunity of asking for acceptance of responsibility. Thank you.
Russell, you took this case by appointment?
That's true, Your Honor.
We thank you and your law firm for accepting the appointment and your fine representation of your client.
Thank you
very much. Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.